Well, may I give you all a very warm welcome this evening to our carol service. As ever, that welcome comes in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's lovely to see you, and we're very glad that you've come. And we trust that this evening you might be more blessed than you've expected to be as you come to this carol service. And before we start, can I then please invite you to stay at the end of the service? I understand that in the UK this Christmas, 175 million mince pies will be eaten between us all. And it seems to me that most of them are here this evening. So please don't rush off. You're very welcome to stay for some festive refreshments. This evening we're going to have a series of readings from the Bible and also some very well-known carols. And we're going to begin our worship of God by standing and singing our first carol. Let's stand and sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. 206. Mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all the nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display thy saving power, ruin nature now restore. Now in mystic union join thine to ours and ours to thine. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Before we have our first reading, let's just bow our hearts together in prayer. Let's all pray. Almighty and eternal God, our loving Father who is in heaven, we lift not only our voices and our hearts to you this evening, but our eyes to worship you as we draw near to you in the name of your only begotten Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gathered here on earth this evening in his precious name to worship you in the splendour of your holiness and your majesty. And we humble ourselves before you, though we cannot see you. We believe that you are the true living God who's made yourself known to us, in creation all around us, through the person of your Son, our Saviour, and in your word, the Bible. And our Father, we come this evening to marvel at who you are. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth, from everlasting unto everlasting, you alone are God. You are perfect in your holiness. You are perfect in your power and in your wisdom. You are the God who made the heavens and the earth simply by speaking a word of command at the beginning. And you are the one who continues to sustain all things by that word of your power. We recognize that you are seated in heaven, from where you rule faithfully and righteously over everything that you've made. And as we come to you this evening, we recognize that you are worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. In contrast to you and your holiness, we're very conscious that we are sinful in our hearts. And our Father, we ask that here this evening, you would show us your mercy and make known to us again through that which we sing and that which we read and that which we hear, your loving kindness to sinners, as shown by you sending into this world your only begotten Son, born there as a babe in Bethlehem, but coming to die on Calvary's cross to pay the price of our sin. Our Father, we ask you to take away our sin here this evening. Now we ask that you yourself would draw near to us and make yourself known to us, such that we know and recognize that you are here and are conscious that we've gathered to worship you in your presence this evening. So hear us and help us. We thank you that you know us by name. The very hairs upon our head are numbered. You know our joys and our sadnesses, and all the circumstances that surround our life. And we pray that here this evening, you would minister your undeserving favour to us. Because we ask all these things in the name and for the sake of him who loved us and gave himself for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our first reading this evening is taken from the New Testament and from the Gospel according to Matthew. And Alice is going to bring to us how the birth of Jesus Christ came about.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then her husband, Joseph, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Let's stand and sing our second carol together. We'll just sing the first three verses of this. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, let us adore him. 209, just the first three verses. Second reading this evening is taken from the Old Testament and from the prophecy given by Isaiah some 800 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. Thanks, Alison.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Well, our third carol this evening is one you might not be familiar with. It's number 218, 218. I don't think I've ever sung this before, but you'll recognise the words. They're taken from the reading which we've just heard from Alison. To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. Let's stand and sing 218.
To us the child of hope is born, to us
We're going to hear from another Old Testament prophet now, at least a reading from an Old Testament prophet, who spoke about the coming Messiah and the place where he would be born. Paul's going to read for us Micah chapter 5 from verse 2. Thank you, Paul.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler to Israel, in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labour has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace.
So we read in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, that the coming Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And that's our next carol this evening, number 211. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Let's stand and sing 211. This evening are taken from the New Testament and from the Gospel of Luke. In our next reading, we hear from Luke how the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was announced to Mary. And we find that in Luke chapter 1 and from verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and Anna's going to read for us.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
At the carol service we hear some very familiar things from God's word, and we sing some very familiar truths, but I would encourage you to savour those truths as you sing them this evening, and to sing them from your heart too. Our next carol is 213, 213. "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild." 213. So the one long promised, the one spoken of in the Old Testament, the one whose birth has now been announced both to Joseph and to Mary. Now it's time for him to be born. And our reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Thank you, Betsy.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out from the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Our next hymn this evening, our next carol, is 210. We're going to sing, He Came Down to Earth from Heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. Let's stand and sing. 210.
Amen.
Beforehand, the birth was announced both to Joseph and to Mary. After it's taken place, it's then announced to the shepherds. And our reading is Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. Thank you, Dave.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them.
220 is our next carol. 220. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, or seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. 220. Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Doubt at all that Christmas is a very strange time of the year. For some people, Christmas is very busy, exhaustingly so. Whether it's been like that for you at work, I don't know. I know some of you are teachers. It seems to me that it's a very exhausting and busy time at the end of term. For some of you, it'll have been busy and exhausting at home. And of course, for some of you, it's been busy and exhausting both at work and at home. It's a very busy time. For others, it's a very expensive time. This year, Christmas sales are forecast to reach £68.7 billion in the UK alone. £68.7 billion. And I'm sure you recognise that's £860 million more than last year, despite the recession. For many people, it's a very lonely time. For others, debt and unrealistic expectations and alcohol and domestic violence and that enforced togetherness under the same roof for several days simply proved to be a Christmas cocktail of misery, breakdown and worse. And I start with that happy little summary because it's realistic, as doubtless we shall see through the media over the next few days. In a survey taken only earlier this month, 54% of respondents said, quotes, Christmas is overrated. 54% agreed with that statement. 18% agreed with the statement, I dread Christmas. Which means, of course, 82% don't dread it, but that's a lot, isn't it? One in five dread Christmas. And 51% agreed with this statement. The birth of Jesus Christ is irrelevant to my Christmas. 51% say the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to my Christmas. Now, I know that many of you enjoy time off. I know at Christmas many of you enjoy time with your family and friends, keeping in touch, following certain family traditions. And I know that certain people love Christmas. In this week's survey, 61% agreed that, quote, Christmas is mainly for children. And many children love Christmas. They get excited at the mystery and the magic of the season, the tearing back of the wrapping paper, the seemingly millions of toys, the television, the panto to go to, the food to eat, the snow to play in and to sledge in. Some people love Christmas. Nevertheless, it can be a very challenging time. Dreaded, overrated, with a historical event at the centre regarded as an irrelevance. And I thought, what a good question that was. Good question to ask myself, a good question to ask you this evening too. Is the birth of Jesus relevant to your Christmas? Truly, in your heart. I'm not asking you to put your hand up and tell us here tonight, but in your heart, is the birth of Jesus relevant to your Christmas, to your life? Is the birth of Jesus relevant to your life? You see, it's quite helpful, I think, to try and separate out the festival now called Christmas, as it's celebrated, with all of its tinsel, and its lights, and its 830 million sprouts, which this year means we only get 13.4 each. That's how we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? The 175 million mince pies, which, if they were stacked up one on top of the other, would be 600 times the height of Mount Everest. That's the celebration. To separate that out from the historical event at the heart. And I'd encourage you to do that for a few moments here this evening. There was a great outcry last weekend, if you saw, that less than 1% of Christmas cards sold in our four leading supermarkets picture the Bible story or the nativity scene. A great outcry by some. Well, by the Daily Mail. But now, Sainsbury's won. And Asda were in second place, and Tesco third, and Morrison's fourth. And Sainsbury's won because out of the 869 packs of cards and cards that were checked, a grand 9 referred to the nativity scene, to the event that lies at the heart of Christmas. Now, whereas that doubtless shows an increasingly secular society, it ought to be remembered that the first ever Christmas card was actually commissioned, not by the wise men, but in 1843 by a man called Henry Cole. That was the first ever Christmas card. And he ordered 1,000 of them, and what did they depict? Well, simply a family enjoying a festive drink together. You see, religious Christmas cards came much later. The historical event and the way it's come to be celebrated really need to be separated. I don't know whether you noticed that last year's Christmas stamps, last year, which you could have this year as well if you ask the post office to put them to one side for you, last year's Christmas stamps were of nativity characters depicted in stained glass windows from various churches around the UK. And again, there's been uproar really in some quarters this year, because have you noticed your stamps this year? You can have asked for those religious ones to be put on one side, but if, like me, you're tearing these off very carefully and saving them for Barbara to go for Caring for Life, who have you seen this year on your Christmas stamps? Wallace and Gromit. Cracking Christmas, Gromit. There you have them. And in some quarters, there's absolute uproar about that. But people get upset that Christmas is, and I quote from last week, a time when Christ is being airbrushed out of the celebrations. Yet for most of those people who complain, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ has no relevance in their lives at all. Many of them, as I heard last night on the end of my phone as I spoke to a member of my family, simply see Christmas as part of the British heritage, and therefore we shouldn't be having Wallace and Gromit stamps. But for that individual, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a complete irrelevance to the way they live their lives today. And that's why I want to ask you a question briefly this evening. Is the birth of Jesus Christ, is the birth of Jesus Christ relevant to your Christmas and to your life, truly? Because you see, our carols this evening are focused on that historical event. And I'd like you to consider with me this evening, very briefly, the heart of Christmas. As we had in our last reading from Dave, it's a message of good news, of great joy for all people. Would you be able to explain that to somebody else? Would you be able to explain to somebody else why the news of Christmas is good news of great joy for all people? The first thing, briefly and very obviously, is the first Christmas was about a birth. In our reading we had from Luke chapter 2, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 we read, a saviour has been born to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Very simply, the heart of the first Christmas is a birth. I'd like you to consider that birth here this evening. We sang about the birth in most of our carols this evening. In Hark the Herald Angels we sang, glory to the newborn King. We sang of him being offspring of a virgin's womb. In a little town of Bethlehem, we sang, morning stars proclaimed. What did they proclaim? The holy birth, for Christ is born. We sang of where a mother laid her baby. It's a birth. It's a nativity. But we have to say it's an unusual birth. In fact, we even have to say it's a unique birth. Many years ago, I used to be a maternity services manager in a hospital, where we delivered 6,800 births a year. And we seem to be in competition with other hospitals around the area to produce the first baby born on Christmas morning. In fact, I used to have nightmare visions of our midwives going down to labour ward on Christmas Eve saying, can't you hold on a bit, can't you hold on a bit, we want to get in the papers this year. Because it was great to have your baby in your hospital, the first one to be born. But in all the 6,800 births we had every single year in that hospital, none of them matched this birth. You see, the birth in the Bible was a birth in fulfillment of prophecies made hundreds of years before he was born. This birth was announced by angels. This birth was to a virgin. This birth led to a visitation from the shepherds and later by wise men who followed the star. This birth so incensed King Herod, who felt threatened by the birth, that he had all young boys under the age of 2 put to death. Well, in all of my years as a maternity services manager, we never had a birth like that. This is a unique birth. And those are the glorious, although in the case of King Herod, the inglorious, truths. The Archbishop of Canterbury is sadly not always right. But when he says there's no reference in the Bible to snow, cattle, oxen lowing, or even of there being three kings, he's right. If you read the two nativity accounts in the Bible, from Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospels, you will see that the facts I've just listed make up the heart of what truly took place 2,000 years ago. And I'm just asking you tonight to separate out that event from the way that it's celebrated today. Because that event needs to be separated from some of the ways it's celebrated today and some of the sentimental folklore that's grown up around the birth. Number one, it's a birth. But secondly, that draws our attention to the one who was born. And he was more than unusual. He was unique. And this evening, I'm going to just draw on one thing why the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. Because the one who came, the one who was wrapped in swaddling cloths, claims to be God. And you can't dispute that, by which I mean you might not believe that claim, but you can't dispute the fact that's what he claimed. The Bible teaches, Jesus claimed, and Christians believe, that Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, is no one less than the true and living God. As we had from Alistair in our first reading, he is Emmanuel, which means he is God with us. And that's what the carols have been telling us this evening. Veiled in flesh, it's the Godhead that we see. Hail the incarnate deity. We sang, you know, come all ye faithful, that he is God of God. He is very God, begotten, not created. We sung that he is, O Lord, our Lord Emmanuel, that he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. We haven't read this evening from another gospel in the New Testament by John. And there, right at the very beginning of his gospel, speaking of the one who came into the world, speaking of the one who became flesh, John says this: without him, nothing was made that has been made. Let me say that again, so like Mary, you can ponder this in your heart. Speaking of the one who came into the world, John says, without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then he goes on to say, the world was made through him. Let's just for a few seconds this evening consider the sun in the sky. Inconceivably massive. How big is the sun? Well, I'm told that you could fit into its space 1,200,000 Earths. It's that big. And there'd still be more room. There'd be room for 4,300,000 moons. So vast is the sun. Who made it? The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were made by him and for him. The sun is 93 million miles away. The nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 5 times bigger than the sun. So you can do your own maths on that and how many Earths and moons would fit into that space. Who made that star? In the New Testament it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, by him all things were created. Betelgeuse, the amazing star, I'm told, is 880 quadrillion miles away. I think a quadrillion is 1,000 billion. Are you ready for this? The diameter of Betelgeuse is greater in size than the Earth's orbit. That's how huge it is. And the New Testament says, all things were created by him and for him. That's the wonder of Christmas. A birth of one that the Bible teaches, he claims, and the Christian believes, is truly God. God himself came down, the eternal Son of God, became something which he previously hadn't been. He became man. He always was. He had no beginning. He always was. And he came from heaven. There, what do the shepherds see? In swaddling cloths in the manger, God in the flesh. Now that's remarkable. God in the flesh. Which leaves us thirdly and finally with a question. Why? Why did God come in the flesh 2,000 years ago? What is the reason for the season? And the answer in the Bible is it's crystal clear. As we heard in our first reading here this evening, the angel came to Joseph and said of Mary, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." Why did God come into the world? God in the flesh, he came to save his people from their sins. The one who was announced to the shepherds was one who was to be a saviour. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. John writes in the New Testament, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as saviour of the world." God in the flesh visited this earth 2,000 years ago to lovingly and wondrously save his people from their sins. That's why he's a saviour. And he saves from sin and all of its consequences. The Bible tells us that this world was created perfectly. God himself passed the verdict on it that it was very good. But when the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God's word, when they rejected his authority, when they rebelled against his rule, sin entered the world. Something that wasn't there before. And mankind's relationship with God was broken and severed, and that does have relevance for you and me here this evening, because it affects us. The Bible says that our relationship with God is severed, that by nature we are born sinners, that we all fall short of what God requires, we all miss the mark. Just like Adam and Eve, we have disobeyed, all of us, God's word, rejected his authority, rebelled against his rule, and faced the penalty of death and judgment. And that's why the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection, and the ascension, and the reign, and the coming return of our Lord Jesus Christ are so relevant for us. Because 2,000 years ago he came into this world to save his people from their sins and its punishment. That's Christmas. God and sinners, as we've sung, reconciled. Cast out our sin and enter in, we've sung tonight. But how does he save? How does the Lord Jesus Christ save sinners? Well, he came and he lived a perfect life. He met all God's standards in obedience. And having met them all, he then did what he came to do, the very purpose for which he came. He offered himself in our place as a perfect sacrifice for our sin on the cross, to face the punishment for our disobedience. His coming is Christmas. His laying down his life, that's Easter. He came to die. And his death was a sacrifice in which he, the sinless one, he, God in the flesh, took the sin of others to himself, having it counted against him. And he faced its penalty, which is death. He died for our sins. That's the remarkable good news of great joy for all people. That God himself, No one less than God himself came to offer himself as a sacrifice for our rebellion against him. That's a wonderful love. That's a wonderful stooping of God to earth. For people like you and me, who've rejected his word and rebelled against his authority. Which leaves us finally with the question, who does he save? Who does he save? And our last carol will tell us this evening. It's sinners who turn to him in repentance, turning away from a life of sin and unbelief, and turn to him and believe upon him for the forgiveness of all of their sins. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. All who acknowledge the truth about him and the truth about ourselves, and turn to him and truly believe upon him, asking him to forgive us our sins. You may love Christmas. You may be one of the 18% who dread Christmas. But can I ask you this evening, what do you make of the historical event? Of the birth 2,000 years ago of God's Son, who came to earth to save sinners from their sins by dying in their place as a sacrifice for their sins, their rejection of him. How relevant to your Christmas and life is the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the reign and the return of the Lord Jesus. Who is he truly to you? May you turn this Christmas from your sin and from your unbelief to him and find in him a saviour. Find good news of great joy for you as the relevance dawns perhaps on you for the very first time. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That is worth celebrating every single day of the year. Our last carol this evening is 196. 196. The chorus says, "Come and worship Christ, the newborn King." And verse 5 is a call. Mercy calls you, break your chains. Believe upon the Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing 196. 99% agreed with the statement, the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to my Christmas. Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. I encourage you this evening to keep the things that you've heard from God's word, and to ponder them in your heart. And ask yourself the question, is the birth of Jesus relevant to my Christmas and relevant to my life? Let's pray before we close. Our gracious God and our loving Father, thank you for the joy and privilege which we've had tonight to be reminded of what took place 2,000 years ago. We marvel at your love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came from heaven to this earth. We thank you that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Thank you for his perfect and spotless life. Thank you, loving Father, that he laid down his life for his sheep. We thank you that the righteous one died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. And we pray, Lord, that in your kindness you give us understanding, even this night, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, of what he has done, and of why he has done what he has done, that we might know him ourselves in our hearts and in our lives, and call upon him for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Father, that you sent him into the world to be a saviour. Thank you for all that he saves us from. Thank you for all that he saves us to. And thank you that all who believe in him will one day be with him forever in a place of no more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, and no more crying. Father, cause us here this evening, we pray, to gain an interest in the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross by your Son, our Saviour. For we ask all these mercies of you, as we thank you too for the food that we're about to eat together. Please watch over us this Christmas time and cause our hearts to worship him who is seated at your right hand in heaven. Because we ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen.